Well, thank you, Richard, Mr. Henderson, and good morning to you all. Some time ago, I decided to sit down and prepare for this, my speaking assignment. My initial thoughts were along the lines of, this is the first day of the feast, and I'm speaking in the morning, and so we're going to have a sermonette about rejoicing. I then decided to look at the speaking schedule again, just a few weeks later, and I discovered that this was to be an offering sermonette. So as you can gather, this does narrow the choice of subject somewhat. So what I'd like to do today is to encourage us all to give an offering with a willing heart, an offering that has been planned well in advance, and an offering which is given with a cheerful attitude and a cheerful heart. And also that it is a quality offering. First of all, we need to consider the quality of the offering, and here we need to consider the presentation. For those of you who have a computer program on your computers for a Bible search, if you type in the words without blemish, you'll find that that comes up some 40 times, twice in the New Testament and 38 times between Exodus 12 and Ezekiel 43. Now, if you type in the word lame, you'll find that when it applies to offerings, this comes up 3 times. And an offering which is lame will not be accepted. It is to be rejected. So, in this day and age, very few of us are farmers, so when you consider what the offerings were considered in ancient times, it was a lamb, a goat, or a calf of the first year. And it had to be a quality lamb, goat, or calf. And so, not many of us nowadays are farmers, and so what we tend to do is we make a cash donation. It is a monetary offering instead of a lamb or a goat or a calf. So if we turn now to Leviticus chapter 22, and beginning in verse 18, we find that many times the words without blemish appear, and this is one of those times. And so beginning in verse 18, we find the following words. Let's just find that. Leviticus 22, beginning in verse 18, we read the following. Speak unto Aaron, and unto his sons, and unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, whatsoever he be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers of Israel that are among you, that will offer unto his oblation for all his vows, and for all his freewill offerings, which they will offer unto the Eternal for a burnt offering. Verse 19, he shall offer of your own free will a male without blemish of the beeves, that is cattle, of the sheep, or of the goats. Verse 20, but whatsoever has a blemish, that shall not be offered, for it shall not be acceptable for you. The style of wording appears time and time again, as I've already mentioned. As I say, it was 38 times in the Old Testament. And it also appears a little bit earlier in the chapter, in chapter 3. We won't turn there. But it does say, and if his offering for a sacrifice, a peace offering unto the Eternal, be of the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. So it's very, very definite that it has to be a quality offering. And as those of you who have ever been to a county show, an agricultural show, will realize that a lamb or a goat or a calf of 1 year old, which is won a prize at the county show, that is going to command quite a price. And it set anybody back a pretty penny if you had to buy one to offer it. So it has to be an offering which is of quality, and which is given with a free will, of your own free will, with a willing heart. And it has to be planned well in advance. Now, coming forward to the second epistle to the Church of Corinth, chapter 9, beginning in verse 5 to 7, in this section of Scripture, we find the Apostle Paul directing the Christians at Corinth to plan ahead for their offering and to ensure that their offering is one of quality and one which is given cheerfully and willfully. And so, beginning in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5, "Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before you and to make up beforehand your bounty, which you have noticed beforehand, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. Verse 6, "But I say unto you, he which sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully." And verse 7, "Every man, according to as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, for not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." You'll see here again, there's a degree of planning required, there's a degree of quality which is implied, and the willingness of making his offering is definitely another requirement. Then we come to this day and age, where we are commanded to come before the Eternal with our offering. We are told when we must appear here, we are told that we should not appear empty-handed, and we are told that we should give of our bounty which God has supplied. And so when we work out what our income is going to be, for those on fixed income particularly, though you can work out what your expenses are, you know what your income is, and you can know what you can adequately spare towards any other items. And so you know what you can put forward each week or each month to your offerings. You know how many times you have to appear before God with an offering, so you divide it by that number, and you have what you can readily afford and accommodate for your offerings each time you come before God. And this all leads us up to Deuteronomy chapter 16, and beginning at verse 16, which by intuition I suspect everyone has probably already turned there and got the idea where I'm going. So we go to Deuteronomy chapter 16, the beginning of verse 16. "Three times a year shall all your males appear before the Eternal your God in the place which he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles," that is now, "and he shall not appear before the Eternal empty," or it should be empty-handed. "Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Eternal your God, which he has given you." So here we see three aspects of giving. Quality is required, planning is required, as is also giving cheerfully and with a willing heart. So it doesn't matter what our situation in life is. It doesn't matter whether life goes according to plan or whether some unforeseen calamity takes us. We know that we have to appear before God. We know that we have to give an offering. It doesn't matter whether it's a widow's mite or a king's ransom. And as was brought out on the Day of Atonement by Mr. David Nelson, King David said, "But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to give of this sort? For everything has been given to us by you, and of your own have you given me." I know that's paraphrased, but that is the idea. King David gave millions in today's terms. We are expected to give what we have planned for, what we are willing to give, and what is quality for our circumstances. Additionally, God said, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine." And that's found in Haggai 2, verse 8.